Blog Talk Radio.
All right, sports fans, how's everybody out there doing? William Martin coming at you one more time here on blogtalkradio.com with another edition of the 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge Show. As always, I want to take this time out to thank all of you fine folks out there for tuning in this evening. And as always, our guest call-in number is going to be 626-231-0309. I repeat, 626-231-0309. And on this wonderful evening of December 11th, 2017, I can gladly once again tell the world that Ms. Runner's baby boy is back on the air. Now, this 2017-2018 NBA season so far has been full of excitement. You look at the Boston Celtics, even without the presence of Gordon Hayward at small forward, they have a record of 23-5, and they are looking like one of the top teams in the league. And in actuality, the Celtics do have the best record in the NBA. You look at the Western Conference and you look at the story of the Houston Rockets, as they are currently on a 9-game winning streak and they have the best record in the West. And not only the West, the league, I spoke prematurely, as it's the Rockets who have the better record than the Boston Celtics right now, percentage-wise. You look at the Golden State Warriors, who are looking to repeat. You look at the San Antonio Spurs, who are holding it down to the record of 19-8. In spite of not having Kawhi Leonard. You also look at the reemergence of the Minnesota Timberwolves after they were able to acquire Jimmy Butler. But one story I'm going to harp on right now, and that's the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers right now, they're 10-15, which is good for the 10th spot in the Western Conference. They're 2 games behind the Utah Jazz for the final spot in the West, and they have themselves a rookie point guard in Lonzo Ball, who, you know, he's putting together a solid, or decent rather, rookie campaign. You look at Ball right now, he's averaging 8.6 points, 7.1 assists, and 6.8 rebounds. Second overall pick coming out of UCLA, but it's more about the baggage that, you know, Lonzo Ball brings to the table. And I'm going to bring my man Cal in to talk about this tonight. As it's not about Lonzo Ball, it's about the family around him. And when I say family around him, I want to say LeVar Ball. And the question is LeVar Ball good or bad for not only his son, but the game of basketball? And just before I get your response to that, Cal, I look at the pros and cons of LeVar Ball. Pro is that, you know, he's a self-promoter. The con is that he's a self-promoter at the same time. You look at a pro and, you know, he's challenged the big sneaker companies. You also look at, you know, another pro, and in my opinion, he's really showing how stupid the people are. We'll elaborate on that tonight. But then I look at some of the other cons. He's putting unnecessary pressure on his son, Lonzo. He's attempting to, you know, undermine or, like, play down what happened with the middle son, LiAngelo, in China a few weeks ago. We talked about Lonzo's season briefly, and then he's also attempting to undermine Los Angeles Lakers head coach Luke Walton. Now, I'll start off with this with my question to you. How long can the Lakers deal with the excess baggage around Lonzo Ball with his father?
Okay, first of all, I want to thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. What I will tell you is this. First of all, me being a lifelong Laker fan, I've went through many decades of different type of things that was going on in the Los Angeles Lakers organization. I started with Magic back in 1980, and I've been straight through. Now, looking to where we're at, you know, we're on pretty much the losing end. We've been losers for a while, even before Kobe retired. And so now it's become a bit of a you know, it's a lot of propaganda surrounding the Lakers, a lot of extra stuff that I think is not helping the ball club or the players. You know, now, as far as, you know, Lonzo Ball, his, you know, maturation process to being a point guard and doing what he's doing, me personally, I feel he needs to step up on the offensive end because, you know, other than that, you know, he's been solid in a lot of things he's doing. He's playing half decent defense, but as a rookie, you know, you give everybody a pass. You understand what I'm saying? Well,
right.
You give him a pass.
Right. Right.
But at the end of the day, you know, it's a learning process. You got to learn as you go. Now,
right.
LeVar Ball, you know, let's bring it back. He is the CEO of Big Baller Brand. And
right.
Big Baller Brand was introduced once Lonzo, you know, became the second pick in the draft. You know, and I'm not angry with him for, you know, his self-promotion of his kids because I'm going to be honest with you, and we're going to take a look at this in depth. It's not
mm-hmm.
too many people that can plan to have professional basketball players and that's their kids. You know, you have kids and you make them professional basketball players. There's not a lot of people that do that. Or that
right.
capable of doing that. You know, we're talking about from, you know, the analytic perspective to the physical perspective, you know, and what it takes to get into the league, you know, everybody doesn't have that. You know, I'm
right.
not mad at him for his Big Baller Brand. I'm not mad at him for, you know, what he's trying to do. My point is this. I think he needs to let Lonzo play. And just let them
right.
figure out what happens. What do you think?
I mean, the thing is, you know, I give him credit for the Big Baller Brand along with you because I, you know, I'm never going to knock the next man, you know, who's out there, you know, and who's doing, not even attempting, who is doing, you know, a business venture and bringing it up from the bottom. I mean, you know, you and I, we had our, you know, private talks as far as like what we're doing, you know, behind the scenes with business ventures of our own. So, you know, I'm never going to knock, you know, anybody for doing that. It's for me, and this even goes back to last year at UCLA with Lonzo, it's how he came across with the message. LeVar basically said, listen, we're only playing for the Lakers. And, I think it was a slap in the face to, you know, the entire NBA earlier this season when the Boston
Absolutely.
Celtics, who initially did have the first overall pick in the draft, and they wanted to bring Lonzo in for a workout. And then you had LeVar, who basically stepped in and said, listen, you know, we're not working out for you. You know, we're only interested in, you know, the Lakers. And, you know, you saw it when, you know, his son, can't remember if it was LiAngelo or LaMelo, they weren't the focal point of the offense on the high school team. And LeVar basically undermined the head coach, got him fired. Even
Absolutely.
Went as far before the head coach got fired, you know, he went into the locker room at the half and he overstepped the coach and he started speaking to the team. So basically he's right there, you know, undermining, you know, the head coach's authority. And, you know, with that
Absolutely.
Said, I'm going to bring in a good friend of yours to this conversation. I'm going to bring in my man Mike, you know, because Kyle, I know you and Mike, you know, have a lot to talk about on this topic. And,
Indeed.
You know, Mike, you know, Mike, as well as you, you know, Mike has talked about this with me several times. And, you know, we've been back and forth, you know, with the good and bad of, you know, LeVar
right.
Ball and what he's attempting to do. So, you know, Mike, you know, very briefly, I'm sure you just heard some of this and we're just talking about, you know, some of the things that LeVar Ball has done. How do you feel about it?
Well, first off, before I get in that, it's always a pleasure to be here on 300 Pounds of Sports Knowledge. What's up to my peoples?
All right, thanks, man.
What's
good, bro?
What's going on? I've been listening, and I think that we all have to – I don't think we as black men want to just tell the truth about LeVar Ball because
okay.
he gets a lot of criticism. And some of it is deserving, a lot of it is not. However, in my opinion, LeVar Ball has to know when to be quiet because he did his job. You talked your kid
right. Agreed.
Into the NBA. You promoted him. You did everything you said you would do, and you're trying to build a brand. There's nothing wrong with that.
Right.
At the end of the day, I will remind everybody of the story of the Golden Goose. To which you tried and tried to get something that was working for you, and it wasn't moving fast enough, and you ended up killing the Golden Goose because you tried to keep pushing it harder and harder until you destroyed it. And LeVar is on the, in my opinion, LeVar is on the verge of doing that. Because, again, we all love our basketball and we all know our sports. At the end of the day, Lonzo Ball has potential, but at the end of the day, he is a 19-year-old rookie. He's got a steep learning curve to go through at the deepest position in the NBA. Him putting a target on his back is not going to help Lonzo, his kid, or the brand. And nobody just wants to tell LeVar, LeVar, be quiet. Because at the end of the day, what's going to end up happening, God forbid, as I've told everybody in my own personal stories of having a overzealous father who was always talking up his kid, fathers like that end up not only criticizing, you know, not only make things harder for the guy's opponents, you can scratch that. What it does to your team, your own team, is ridiculous, and you're seeing it. The coach, you're criticizing the coach. You've already come out and criticized Julius Randle. And Julius Randle, as I understand, is Lonzo's man. So it's just not looking good, and you're going to make yourself untradeable. Nobody's going to be bothered with you.
I agree.
I'll throw that out there. I'll throw that back to y'all.
I want to touch on this because Mike, I've watched you from the time you were a kid,
mm-hmm.
and you was a football player first.
Yeah.
All right, and that I know for a fact. And your dad and my dad were good friends,
uh-huh.
and they knew each other through various sports and things and being in the neighborhood. And when I saw you sprout and I saw you grow and get so big. You know, your father, and I talked to your father a lot. I mean, he
mm-hmm.
was one of the guys that, you know, always encouraged me and had me, you know, doing things in a certain way and basically having respect for the game of basketball. You know, so I saw what he was trying to do with you. But to me, it was really about what you wanted to do.
Exactly.
Am I correct?
Absolutely.
Okay. So we're hitting it on the head. Now, going back
mm-hmm.
to LeVar Ball, the problem with him is this. He's helping himself, but he's limiting himself too. By
right.
you ostracize others, when you ostracize and you put other people on the outside of what you're doing, that means you're not going to get the help, you're not going to get the sponsorships you need in
mm-hmm.
order to get your brand. You know, I wish, you know, the things my father did for me was, you know, I wanted to learn how to play baseball. He went and got a team for me. You understand?
Thanks.
And he didn't care. He went and got a team for other people in the neighborhood to play. Not just me. It wasn't just me. It was beyond that. Because he loved the game of baseball. He loved the game of basketball. And he wanted us to figure out, you know, get a chance to play and then figure out what we wanted to do from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'll never forget that. My father is now deceased. However the case may be, what he taught me, I passed it on. And so, Mike, by the time you started playing ball, I encouraged you, and I played with you.
Mm-hmm.
And it was several things that you did while we were playing that told me that you were being taught by other people, the right people, and how to carry yourself. And, you know, you basically, you made me proud. And I'm very thankful to be sitting here with you. You understand? Not just only as a basketball player, but as a young man. Well-rounded, you know, and understood what family was about. But also, you being your own individual, what you wanted to do. And see, we don't know what Lonzo Ball wants to do, to correlate it.
Absolutely.
We know he's an NBA player. He's in the league. But, you know, he's not even having a chance to speak for himself because his father is putting so much pressure on him. And then at the same time, he's banned from the Lakers, being a person that can speak at certain parts of, you know, the Staples Center and this and that and the third. A bunch of nonsense.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's going to help his game, to me personally. But I'm going to take it back a little bit further because when you're growing up and you're playing with competition, you know, I don't know how California get down, but, Mike, you know how we got down.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm going to tell you, we played with some players that could have played pro. I had somebody tell me this yesterday. Cal, you should have went to the NBA. Cal, you should have did this. But people don't understand when you don't have certain things that are available now, in this
mm-hmm.
new age of social media and different things to promote people, you know, we didn't have that like that back then. You know, we had the newspapers. I got a lot of press. I got a lot of things. and I was able, as a basketball player, to move forward and get looks from legitimate Division I schools and get scholarships and this, that, and the third. That was all cool. But in Lonzo Ball's, in his, we talking about Lonzo Ball, he was spoon-fed and put in the right position. So, Michael Ansley, I'm going to ask you this question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think with the proper backing and the proper, you know, things that you need to be a basketball player, do you think if you would have had what Lonzo Ball has now or had growing up, do you think you could have been a professional player?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. At the end of the day, because you've touched on it, and first off, everything you said, I really appreciate it. It means a lot coming from you. And
yo, bro, it's all, you already know. I can't even say no more.
Yeah, and that's true. It means a lot, but it's like you said, it's what you want to do. Because and everything that, you know, you look at people who are in a position to do what they are able to do, I do always wonder and I always ask myself, and like we've said, we've never really heard from any of the other members of the family because LaVar is the one always talking for everybody. It's like you said, are they doing something that they really want to do? Because there is a difference between having a talent to do something and having a passion to do something. And I'm we're talking about LaVar, and I'm listening to some of the things that LaVar Ball is doing with his other kids. You know, you're pulling them out of high school so they can go play ball. You know, you're talking about dudes at like 15 years old. I don't know about y'all, but I know when I was 15, the things that I thought I wanted to do, by the time I hit 18, 19, I totally changed my mind.
Absolutely.
You know, so I'm with you. Is it do? We don't know if Lonzo really wants this. Is he doing something that he wants to do, or is he doing something that he's just talented enough to do and make millions of dollars in the process? And you
that's
know,
a fact.
Yeah. And with all that being said, and again, we have to remember, and I tell everybody this all the time. You know, these guys are on TV making a lot of money. At the end of the day, Lonzo Ball is 19 years old. In the NBA, second-round pick, multimillionaire, what has become maybe the biggest bad mouth on the planet right now after our current president. That is a lot of pressure to be under at 19. And to add to that, again, he's doing this playing at the deepest position in the NBA right now.
Facts. And
God,
William said
it.
The same thing. It's agreed. So what I want to ask William is this.
Mm-hmm.
Said moving forward, I want to ask you, all right, we're gonna talk a little bit about, I believe it was LaMelo.
Mm-hmm.
LaMelo is the one that was playing with UCLA, am I correct?
No, it's LiAngelo.
Okay, excuse me. LiAngelo.
Yeah.
All right, because mm-hmm. I went and I did some mathematics because everybody today is about statistical data. So I went and I did some math about LiAngelo. I thought, you know, personally as a basketball player, bro, him, between LiAngelo and LaMelo, bro, they couldn't hold our draws where we came from playing as players. So it makes me think, Mike, you know what I'm talking about. It makes me think, like, who are they playing against? Who were these guys playing against? Can anybody tell me who, for them to get to the level of where they are, and I'm not knocking anybody. We're talking about who were they playing against. Because I could tell you who I was playing against, these dudes is all pros. And they were, you know, all Americans, and they was the best of the best. Who are these guys? He scored 92 points the other day. LaMelo.
Oh, you're talking about LaMelo.
LaMelo scored 92
You're
points right. the other day. Who in the good God name is he playing against?
Well, and see, just to piggyback off of that, you know, that was part of the problem before, you know, with LaVar Ball getting into it with the high school coach because, you know, he felt that his son was not taking enough shots. And typically the reason why LaMelo is averaging the crazy points that he is, I mean, don't get me wrong, he can play, but at the same time, he's taking all of the shots. So, I mean – it's one of those things, you know, going back to Kobe's last game in the NBA, if you're taking 40 shots, law of averages, you're at least going to score 40 or 50 points, you know. So,
right.
But when I think Alonzo Ball, and you know, you guys talked about it, you know, him possibly being forced into this, and Mike and I have talked about this before. And I said this when he was at UCLA. One name that came to mind when I saw Alonzo Ball and LeVar Ball was Todd Marinovich. Cal, were you familiar with the story with the story of Todd Marinovich?
I am.
So you know how his father, you know, forced upon him to be a football player, forced upon him to be a quarterback, forced him to be left-handed, never even allowed the kid to eat a hamburger. And it got to the point, you know, this dude was eating, sleeping, and drinking football. Finally made the Raiders as their starting quarterback. And the one time when it was starting to come together and he had a decent game against the Giants, his father told him that he was proud of him. His father had never told him that before. And it simply went downhill, you know, for him after that.
From that point.
And
right.
I mean, yeah.
Exactly. I remember.
And, you know, Mike, you know, you talk about, you know, Lonzo being at the deepest position in the NBA. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, you talk about the unnecessary pressure that his father's put on him. I mean, this is going back to last year when Lonzo was in college. And, you know, LeVar has still not backed away from it because he's still saying that his son is better than Steph Curry. And, I mean, the thing is, that is so much unnecessary pressure because if you're Lonzo Ball, before you even step foot on an NBA floor, you're being compared to a guy who's a two-time NBA champion and a two-time NBA MVP, and he's going to be a Hall of Famer.
Absolutely.
So,
mm-hmm.
so I mean, the thing is, your father's put unnecessary pressure on you, and you know, Lonzo, you know, fairly or not, this is going to, like, honestly, I got to say, between this year and next year, we are really going to figure out if Lonzo Ball has the goods to make it in the NBA, just for the simple fact that it's going to determine where his psyche is. Because you go back to his first game, he got shut down by Patrick Beverley. You know, and I mean, this is no knock on Patrick Beverley. Patrick Beverley is not an all-star point guard. He's a guy who possibly could make one all-star game throughout his NBA career.
But he is all defense.
Right. And a guy like Pat Beverley, you know, he plays with a chip on his shoulder every night because he went undrafted. And, you know, I've talked to guys who went undrafted by the NFL, and they still had lengthy careers. And it was something that they never forgot because basically nobody wanted you. And to be a pro athlete, you have that alpha male mentality. And, you know, it's always, you know, I'm the man. And, you know, your ego really takes a hit in not getting drafted. Pat Beverley always played with that chip on his shoulder. But, you know, you talk about the deep position, having to go up against the Steph Currys, the Russell Westbrooks, the James Hardens, the Damian Lillards, the John Walls, the Kyrie Irvings. And, I mean, we're missing so many guys right now. That's a tough thing to deal with.
Fact.
And we even saw it a few games ago where the Lakers had a game against the Nuggets, and they lost by 15 points. And I think it was Jamal Murray who purposely went to dribble the ball around Lonzo Ball at half court. And Lonzo would not have to deal with this if it wasn't for his father, because his father has put all of this unnecessary pressure on him. And now, you know, you touched on it about, well, you know, now he really can't talk to the media at Staples Center. Well,
right.
I got news for
he
you.
Can't.
The next step is going to be he's going to be banned
media.
From the Staples Center, from the Staples Center altogether. You know what I'm saying?
Let me piggyback. Please let me piggyback a little bit.
Sure.
I'm going to say this, because as a player, the number one thing I learned, and let me tell you something, I played against a lot of everybody, from the top street ballers to NBA players to the top college players. And the number one thing I always had in myself was confidence. I'm going to get my 2010. I don't care who you are. I don't care if it was Anthony Mason. I played against him. I don't care who you are. I got confidence in my game. And what I see with Lonzo Ball, I don't see that confidence in his game. You understand what I'm saying? I'm a Lakers fan. I'm analytical about what goes on and what's happening, and I don't see that confidence night in and night out in his game. Where I came from, I'm just going to explain this and break it down, because it goes to before where Lonzo Ball is at now. If you know you was playing against guys that were really, really good, whether they was pro, college, or whatever, if you're going to play with them, you got to step your game up and keep your game on that level. You understand what I'm saying? And
right.
I mean, you know, when I graduated high school, you had the Mashburns. Before that was the Malik Sealys, the Kenny Andersons. You had the Adrian Autrys. You had the best of the best when I graduated, not counting the guys in the PSAL. That's the
mm-hmm.
Catholic School League. So
right.
day in and day out, you looking. I mean, you playing against top-notch competition. Forget about that. Each one teach one. All the different programs we had. It's the confidence in your game, brother. I don't see the confidence in Lonzo Ball's game night in and night out. I don't know what I'm gonna get. So as a person that's watching, we don't know, yo. I'm piggybacking because it starts before that. It got to be in your mind that, listen, I don't care who I'm playing against, who I'm going against, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to dictate what I'm going to do. I'm going to dunk on this guy. I'm going to shoot in this guy's face. I'm going to shake this guy. I'm going to do something to make you remember me and know that I can get at you. I don't see that confidence. And I don't think LaVar Ball is helping him.
And if I may, and that's the point. Like, I don't think Lonzo is necessarily dealing with a lack of confidence as much as
okay.
it is distraction. You know, if there was one thing that I do regret about my career personally, is that I never understood mental preparation. And
okay,
when you are playing as a 19-year-old kid in the NBA, toughest conference. Deepest position in the league. And let's be honest, 19, there's still a lot of development that Lonzo has to go through and has to learn on the fly because he does have talent. You can see the talent oozing out of him, but it has to develop. And in order for that to happen, you have to be focused. Lonzo can't be
Absolutely.
Focused because, one, you're at a point, I can't speak for myself because if I do, I risk incurring the wrath of my father and causing family dramas, distraction. I got the entire league looking after me, trying to kill me because of my father, distraction. I'm now having been told or whatever that, you know, my teammates are now looking at me sideways because something that I said to my father now leaked out to the media and they're looking at me, distraction. My father is now talking about my coach. And let's say, and from everything I've heard, the entire team loves Lonzo. But your father
yes,
is now slowly destroying that. So now you
got
to
be able to play
go.
Through that, though. You got to, Mike. You got to be able to play through that. I played in extreme hostile conditions, you know, on several different levels. All right, and some of those levels was people was betting on the game. I don't know they betting on the game,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's big money on the game. You know, and if you don't get your 20-10 or whatever you're supposed to do,
mm-hmm.
it might affect them, and they gonna tell you, well, if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, we lost this money. I'm just hypothetically speaking. The distractions, once you get on the court is your safe haven. That's the one place you can go and do where you ain't got to answer no questions about what happened before or what's going to happen. You got to deal with what's happening on that court. And if you can't, you know, separate yourself from the distractions, he's not going to make it. You know, and the distractions get more difficult as you go along.
And you're kind of answering, you know, where I was going with this. How can you make it when the distraction is your parents? You see what I mean? That's a tough
right.
bond to break.
You got to block that out, bro. You got to block it out. It's like, I don't know how to explain to y'all, but the best way I can put it to you is this. I was the type of player, I was a very good player. I didn't know how good I was because I always
mm-hmm.
thought I was smart. And I always thought that, you know, regardless of how good I could play, I was always smart and I would be good in life and I would be good with anything else.
Mm-hmm.
So with basketball, I used that as a tool to get it to my spots. You understand? In other words, that was to get into college and to get to where I needed to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So I never really put my all in all mentally into that. But whenever I was on that court, it was 100. I wanted to win every game, every practice, every drill, everything I did, I wanted to win. And if you don't have that type of mentality, and what you said, William, was mental preparation.
Right.
And, Mike, you said mental preparation.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning, you got to go out. I'm in the snow up in Fulton Park taking 500 shots every night while all y'all sleep in your beds. You don't know I'm out there. I got the gym open in Claremont. I'm taking 500 shots. I'm on the road. I'm working 3 jobs. I haven't given up my college eligibility. I got offered to go play in Puerto Rico over here. It wasn't for the league, but I knew I had to still stay in shape. Everybody's smoking reefer. They got the women. They doing this. They doing that. I ain't got no kids. I'm chasing myself. So if you chasing yourself, your mental preparation is the most important thing. It's the discipline, because with basketball, for me, I did 3 separate basketballs, 3 separate workouts, excuse me, in order to play basketball. 3 separate workouts. 5 times a week, no matter where I was. You have to do that. And if you can't block out the crowd, you got 17,000 to 20,000 people screaming in your ear every day, and trust me, I've been there. If you can't do that and play your game, you're going to be in trouble. And I feel sorry that Lonzo has to go through this because of his father, but at the end of the day, you're not your father. And
right.
I told my father that. He didn't put those type of expectations on me. He just was like, yo, he told me, he said, son, do the best you can. I'm going to be proud of you no matter what you do. And whenever I saw my father there, I was like, yes. You know, I felt like good. He could have been talking all type of stuff behind, whatever, you know, he could have been saying whatever. But I would never know because my mind wasn't there. My mind was on the game and who I was guarding. You know what I'm saying? If I got the predator in my face, I'm at a tournament, whether I'm in Rucker, I'm here, wherever I'm at, doesn't matter. You know what I'm saying? I could be in the backyard 132. I'm thinking about this guy. You understand what I'm saying? I'm thinking about Reggie Freeman, whoever I'm playing with, whoever I'm playing against. You know what I'm saying? And the funny thing about this is we got older. All the guys I played against didn't really know who I was, but they remembered that I played. So once we got older and we started connecting on social media, they remembered, yo, you played. Yo, you did good. You know, and it was like that made me feel well because I was able to block out whatever distractions, and the distraction could be this guy is the best player on the planet. You know, a couple of months ago, I spoke to Kenny Anderson. All right? We were talking, and he's going to be a guest on Citywide Sports. And I had told him, I said, I remember my junior year in high school. He was the number one player pretty much in the country. And he had the New York State High School scoring record. And I went to Malloy High School, and I saw him play against one of my friends named Ronnie Eifert, who played over at Marquette. And I saw Kenny drop 32 points in 3 quarters. He sat the 4th quarter. And this guy, his left hand was the best. That was the best shot I ever seen. And it made me work on my left hand. And so when you see guys like that, and you know, then you play with them in free play. You know, we played in free play. This guy didn't miss a shot in free play. He didn't miss a shot in shoot around. You know what I'm saying? And he didn't care who saw what or what was going on. He played his game, and this was the top guy in New York City, my junior year in high school. All right, and I sat there and I watched him. I played against the Brian Reeses. I played against all these guys that were big. So it brings back the question again. Who was Lonzo, LaMelo, and LiAngelo playing against? Because I'm not hearing no names. You know what I'm saying? Because if you're playing against top notch, like you go back to LeBron James. LeBron was playing against Melo. He was playing against, what's my man, Lenny Cook.
Lenny Cook.
He was playing against all these guys. They were top-ranked guys. So you know who you was playing against and what type of game you need to bring to these things. So it brings me back to that. Who was Lonzo, LaMelo, and LiAngelo playing against? Can somebody tell me? One of y'all please tell me that. Please.
The one name that, you know, I think that comes to mind, and it wasn't on the high school level, definitely, you know, last year when UCLA played Kentucky in the tournament, you know, and De'Aaron Fox basically gave, you know, Lonzo Ball the business. And I really thought that was, you know, I thought that was going to be a microcosm of, you know, things to come for Lonzo's NBA career, you know, at least at the beginning. And, you know, to me, I mean, I just go back to the pressure because it's so unnecessary for what LeVar has done to him. Because, listen, everybody's not gonna step onto the court and, you know, become a phenom right away. LeBron James
was a freak.
He was a freak from the standpoint that this dude came into the league straight out of high school and averaged 20 points per game as a rookie. You know what I'm saying?
He showed up.
That's something you see once in a generation. I mean, but you look at Lonzo this year. I mean, I go back to his stats. And, you know, one guy that comes to mind, you go back to the 2013 NBA draft. Otto Porter Jr. was a third overall pick by the Wizards. This guy came into the NBA with a tremendous skill set. He was the Big East Player of the Year. And this is when
the
Big East Player of the Year meant a lot because, you know, of the teams like UConn, you know, Syracuse, you know, you still have Villanova, you know, Louisville. And that's when Louisville won the national championship that year. So that gives you an idea of how, you know, talented Otto Porter Jr. was. Yeah. Otto Porter Jr.'s first year in the NBA, he only averaged 2 points per game. And even by his second year, he only averaged six. However, you know, the Wizards allowed him to develop. And now as Otto Porter Jr. is in his fifth year, he's averaging more than 15 points per game along with seven rebounds. So obviously you see that he continues to improve. My point is this.
Yeah.
Right. You know, Lonzo is a guy that it's going to take him a couple of years to properly develop into being an NBA player. But my problem is due to the unnecessary pressure that his father has put on him and the microscope that he's put him under. I'm not sure if he's going to get that opportunity because I'm not sure at some point his mentality has to reach a breaking point because everybody is going to gun for you. You know, I mean, we saw what Joel Embiid did to the Lakers a few earlier this season. Granted, you know, after the Lakers beat the Sixers a few nights ago, you know, Joel Embiid and LaVar Ball, they talked in the tunnel in the arena in Philadelphia. But, I mean, you got guys like De'Aaron Fox who was in his draft class. You know, you have Ben Simmons who right now is the rookie of the year. You know, and like, again, we talked about how deep
but
that the point guard position is in the NBA.
A rookie.
Technically, he's not.
I've been hearing the technicality.
But it's just like the Blake Griffin situation because you remember when Blake Griffin
wasn't a rookie technically.
Right. You know what I'm saying? But it was all about because it's like you've had guys in the past where, you know, they came. You know, you've had it with guys from Europe where, you know, they were drafted in a certain year and
they're
decided
not
to come over.
They were playing pro.
You know, right. You know what I'm saying?
But they're still not playing NBA, but I hear what y'all are saying.
Right.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I mean, it's the unnecessary pressure. And, you know, unfortunately for LaVar Ball has continuously attempted to downplay it, I really think that the worst thing that could have happened to him and the Baller brand was when LiAngelo got arrested for shoplifting over in China recently. And, you know, he tried to downplay it, you know, and he did that CNN interview. And honestly, that CNN interview really did not help him in any way, shape, or form because, you know, Mike, you've talked about it tonight about, you know, LaVar just needing to keep his mouth shut. And in a situation like that, I think the best thing for LaVar Ball would have been to have simply kept his mouth shut because he made a bad situation worse. Because, you know, Mike, you and I have talked about this before. Shoplifting here in the United States could be a slap on the wrist. You know, you make your court appearance, you pay your fine, maybe do some community service if you're a first-time offender.
Mm-hmm.
Over when you get out of the United States, petty crimes are not treated in the same fashion. I mean, I go back to the 1990s, you know, when Michael Fay was, you know, arrested in Singapore for doing graffiti on cars. And the Singapore government wanted to cane him 8 times. And Bill Clinton was the president, and Bill Clinton was able to negotiate it down to 6. And then I actually, you know, saw a demonstration of what the caning was going to look like on the Phil Donahue show. These guys took a long bamboo stick, and they wrapped it in tape, and then they soaked it in water, and then they hit him on the backside. So the thing is, it's like once you get to foreign countries. Right. So once you get to foreign countries, you know, they don't take petty crimes as, you know, a slap on the wrist, no pun intended, like it is here in the United States. And for LaVar Ball to go on TV and attempt to downplay it because I've seen people do worse things, you know, that's not going to fly because if I go right now and I punch somebody in the face and I get caught by the cops and I go in front of the judge if I tell the judge, well, you know what? Yeah, what I did was wrong, but I've seen people shoot people. The judge ain't going to hear it. The judge is going to throw me in jail. No ifs, ands, or buts
about it. He's going to throw the book at you. He's going to hit you with the book.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right. Right. So you can't sit up there and downplay it. And then for, you know, LiAngelo to go on TV and say, well, you know, the other kids were stealing, and then I jumped in. And I mean, like, Mike, you and I have talked about
it. It's young people stuff. It's young
right.
people stuff.
But
that's
I mean, the thing
moment.
Is, it's like, you know, you're 18, you're 19 years old, I get that, but at the same time, you're not 9, because that's an excuse you make when you're 9 years old and it doesn't fly. And at the same
right.
time, you know, with all of that involved, you know, Mike, you know, you were on sports teams in college. I was on sports teams. Cal, the same thing for you. I can tell you from my personal experience, nobody had to tell me anything. I mean, first of all, I was a walk-on, so I knew that, number one, I didn't have, like, a long leash as far as, like, being stupid. So, like, if I
right.
really had to make sure, like I stood up and was, like, straightforward, you name it. But I knew, because every time that we took a trip, we all had team-issued sweatsuits. You had the school name on your T-shirts, your sweats,
that's
everything.
Right.
Once you put that on, it's not just about you. You're a representative of that
that's
school.
Right. Absolutely.
And the thing is, you look at UCLA, one of the most prestigious, you know, universities, you
that's
know,
right.
in the United States. I mean, UCLA is known for the basketball,
absolutely.
but UCLA Medical Center is also up there. So, you know, UCLA really, you know, they pride themselves on that. And that brought a lot of embarrassment to that university. And I really think I think the ultimate slap on the wrist out of everything, you know, you talk about, you know, LeVar pulling his kids out of school, but then you turn around and you say, you know what? Okay, you're not going to play my son. I'm going to pull him out of school and take him overseas and let him play ball. He didn't learn his lesson. And the reason is this: the other two kids that were with him, they're left back there to sit back and suffer all of the consequences from UCLA for their
that's
wrongdoing
right.
while you just go about
that's
your
right.
life.
And may I also add to that, if he's
mm-hmm.
talking about taking his kids overseas, and these are the mistakes that they're making when they were in UCLA, and they're talking about playing
right.
ball in another country, and I know when you're overseas as a ball player, you are able to get away with a lot, but if you think you can slip up and
somewhat
and just
if you're
do whatever
in that country playing, right, somewhat.
Yeah, there's going to be some consequences and repercussions. And from everything that I've heard about these kids, you know, especially LiAngelo, the one that came out of UCLA, I've heard it said recently, if there were 3 rounds in the NBA draft, he still wouldn't get
picked.
He
wouldn't get drafted. Touch on this, Mike.
Yeah, yeah.
Mike, you and William know this. We're going to break this down to the essence about LiAngelo Ball. I'm going to take it back because I did some mathematics. And one thing I specialize in is social studies. So before we get there, I'm going to take it back. Whenever you go on a road with your college team, it's basically 3 rules. First one, don't embarrass the university.
Mm-hmm.
Second one, no prostitutes. Third
mm-hmm.
one, no police contact. They tell you this. Now, fourth on the list is whenever you go away, you get a per diem. Meaning
right.
they give you money. It's basically meal money, whatever.
Stopping, uh-huh.
And from when I was in school in the 1990s, early 90s, straight through the 90s to the end of 2000, all right, basically what it was they would give you a certain amount of money every time you went out, and you could take that money and do whatever you want. Aside from the fact that these kids come from places and homes where I'm sure their people were giving them money or whatever, you get money from the school. There's
right.
no reason why these kids didn't pay for whatever it was that they took. One. Two, you get briefed. When you go to a foreign country, even if you're going to visit, all right, we all have passports. We've all been out of the country, all right? So
mm-hmm.
you know when you get out the country, you're an American. They want to know when you come in, and they want to know when you leave, and they want to see you. Goodbye. So this is all known things. So I'm not going to give it that angle of kids being kids and kids not knowing too much because they knew the consequences and they was told because you were briefed twice.
Exactly.
About that. Are we in agreement on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. For the most part, I will always say let's not overreach and assume that everybody in school
and these administrators
do what they're supposed to do. But I'm with you for the most.
But Mike, they tell you, even if you're not going out of country, they tell you when you're going. You could be going from state to state. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't matter because
you
got different state laws in Maryland than you do in New York. Then you got different state laws in South Carolina than you do in Atlanta. They tell you this stuff. You're being schooled. You know. You don't have an excuse. I'm going to bring it back a little bit. Because if I'm going to China and you're going to take a trip in China, here's a few things you want to know. You want to know where you're going, where you could go, what you could do, what you can't do.
Mm-hmm.
And the United States didn't formally recognize the People's Republic of China for 30 years. Instead, the U.S. maintained diplomatic relations with the Republic of China, their government, and especially with Taiwan, recognized as the sole legitimate government of China, Taiwan. So this is something you should know because they tell you this. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take it back even further. World War II, China was an allied power of Great Britain and France, except for during the German occupation in China, 1940 to 1944, the Soviet Union after 1941. So that means there was what's called, we went to school, the Boxer Rebellion. You know, we were looked at as Westerners, even though the Europeans took and they industrialized and westernized China. They didn't like it and they rebelled. So this is common sense, because if you're in college and you're doing any type of papers or whatever you're doing, you're learning about the Chinese government. I always looked at the Chinese government as, not really as more a dictatorship, not a democracy, but a dictatorship. This is what I looked at, this, you know, the Chinese government as a dictatorship.
Uh-huh.
And they were, you know, Nazi occupied. They had swastikas. You can look at the karate movies. You saw what they represented, and it wasn't democracy until we came up into current times, you know, from the 50s to the 60s to whatever. This goes way back, and you learned this in school. So in other words, if I'm going to China, I'm taking my kids, my wife, whoever, or I'm going to the ball, I'm going to do whatever, I want to know what I can do and what I can't do. Not only did LiAngelo Ball embarrass his family, he embarrassed the United States. Because you leave to go to another country and you're playing for a United States team, you represent the U.S. You're going out there to scrimmage whoever, you know, whatever. And, you know, I got guys right now that, you know, I play ball and grew up. Their kids are in Division I schools, and they all went to different parts of the world to go and play. But your school, we had this conversation about LiAngelo Ball. So I say this to say this. He made a mistake. I don't think he should be crucified for it. But I think he should be made the man up. I think him being pulled out of school and given a chance to go play overseas, I think that's a sucker way out. And I honestly think that he's cheating himself by not being able to go to school, because I'll be surprised if another school takes him. What y'all think about that? Do you think somebody else can take him?
I would say this with everything you just said, and this goes back to everything that y'all touched on before. Do you think LiAngelo is making – that's the guy from you said, LiAngelo, correct?
Right.
Correct.
Is LiAngelo making these decisions? Because quite frankly, again,
he's not.
I have never heard another member of the Ball family speak. And from the time that they've gotten their name known from like the middle of last year, at least when I came across them, I couldn't tell you what Alonzo Ball sounds like. His brothers. And you telling me that you pulling me out of school, I don't know if it was resolved where, you know, he was on scholarship or the father was paying, but why would you just pull me out of school? What if I don't want to leave school?
Well, the thing is,
you see what I mean? I say that to say you're telling him to man up and take all these things. I don't know if he's even in a situation to where he can make his own decisions right now. Because what if he wants to?
I agree. Well, the thing is, you know, at this point, LiAngelo Ball has no more eligibility because a couple of hours ago, LiAngelo and LaMelo, you know, they had already signed with an agent. Now they agreed to play ball for this team in Lithuania.
incredible.
So and the thing is, the two reasons why they're
incredible.
Going to play for this team, this is like arguably one of, if not the worst leagues in European basketball. And they were also guaranteed to get at least 20 to 25 minutes per game. And the only reason that the team signed them was because they hope that, you know, their presence, you know, can bring more of a spotlight to the team. But my thing is this.
Incredible.
Typically with European basketball, the way that it goes, the youngsters don't play that much. And I'll tell you like this, it's not going to be any situation over there where LaVar Ball is going to tell the coach how to run his team, this, that, and the third, because they over in Europe, they don't have a problem showing you the door. And I'll tell you like this, you know, there are people who have already seen LiAngelo play, and they're like, you know what, he might be a D-League guy, or G-League at this point, or he might be a European player. They're looking at LaMelo as being more of the NBA prospect. But the thing is, you're not going to see LaMelo play at the collegiate level because he's already signed with an agent, so that is done. So for a team to take LaMelo or LiAngelo, they'll have to do it from Europe. But the problem is, with everything that's gone down this season with Lonzo, if you're an NBA team, would you want to take a chance on either LaMelo or LiAngelo? Because, Mike, I already asked you this. Cal, I'll ask you this as well. Let's say it does not work out for Lonzo with the Lakers. How many other NBA teams do you think are really ready to line up and say, you know what, we want Lonzo Ball? Not because of him, because of the father.
That's the problem. And I keep asking people, and nobody has been able to give me a solid answer on this. How do you break the bond of a parent that is that involved in your life in that manner? Because let's also be clear on something, too. I don't know if anybody here has actually met LaVar Ball. I know from my standpoint.
No, we only know about him through the media.
Through the media. Well, I say that to say you don't know what people are like when the cameras go off. You know, because we've said, you know, he's such a great father and this, that, or whatever. All we know is what we see. We don't know what this dude is doing when the cameras is off. And it may be a situation to where they may actually hate their fathers. Despite whatever success he has helped to bring them, they may actually despise that dude. And I ask again, has anybody here ever heard any member of the Ball family speak aside from LaVar?
No.
Well,
Lonzo,
just Lonzo. Right.
I've never heard him speak. I've never heard him speak aside from that.
I've heard him speak. What I will say to this is to piggyback on it. In actuality, see, what's happening with the people out here and with social media is they feel like what, you know, to an extent what Lonzo Ball is going through, it, you know, kind of represents them and what, you know, they're going through, or, you know, the way that their fathers may have been pushing them and what they thought could have happened for them. So a lot of people are actually, you know, they're pro-Lonzo Ball, pro-LaVar Ball.
Mm-hmm.
Me, I didn't like him when I first saw him, but then I got what he was trying to do. And
exactly.
So, you know, the anger kind of dissipated. But then when I looked at Lonzo Ball, the athlete, and saw what his father was doing to him, it kind of rubs me the wrong way. But at the same time, you got to be your own man. But if you're not a grown man, you can't be your own man.
Exactly.
Technically, LaVar Ball is still responsible for Lonzo Ball, even though Lonzo Ball is a professional basketball player. He's only 19. You're not grown until you're technically 21, so he can't drink or do anything of legal movement until he gets 21. I'm just hypothetically speaking.
But see, in everything that you just said, and this is what I always try to tell people, it even goes back to what you said earlier in the conversation about, you know, your mental toughness and all that. Everybody is different and has to go through their own process. While you may have the mental toughness to, you know, to kind of gut out a lot of the things you went through, you know, Lonzo may not have that much. But let me rephrase that. He may not be tough enough to handle that. Everybody has a different capacity. And I think Lonzo personally is incredibly tough. But personally, they say pressure either makes diamonds or busts pipes. And if you get, I don't care who you are, you get enough pressure, you will explode. And I looked at Lonzo personally when I saw him around maybe draft time or just before the draft, and his father was running his mouth about Steph Curry. To me, I see somebody that's slowly starting to crack. And you can actually see it in his game.
It's very possible.
It's too much. I tell people it's kind of hard to break a bond with an overzealous parent. And it's even worse when you actually owe your parent something. Because I will give LeVar his credit. At least the perception is LeVar did do a lot of things to help his boys out. And it's going to be real hard for him to just say, you know what, Dad, I love you, but you got to shut the hell up and let me do my own thing.
But Mike, he did one better. He found a tall female. He's a tall male.
Mm-hmm.
And they purposely had these children knowing that they would be tall. And he breeded them. He breeded them. All right?
That is disgusting. If that's true, and I'm taking your word for it,
It is. He said it. You can find it anywhere. This is one of the first things I learned about LeVar Ball and how, you know, they were talking about how he got with his wife. And, you know, she was, I don't know if she was a volleyball or whatever she was. She was an athlete. And she was tall. He was tall. They breed athletes. They did this on purpose. He said that. You know, so at the end of the day, you know, these kids were bred to play basketball. And at the end of the day, I don't think they were given a fair shot to decide if they didn't want to do that or not.
Exactly.
You know, I wasn't like I told you was a football player earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was a baseball player earlier, and I was a very good one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got turned off. You know, I played in the Spanish league. I mean, I played for like maybe 8 years organized from the time I was 7 to the time I was 15, 16.
Really?
I played 1 year in high school. I did. You know, I played 1 year in high school. I was throwing about 85 miles an hour. And, you know, my high school coach, he was a Dominican guy. You know, he had all the Spanish players, you know, and they,
mm-hmm.
you know, were doing more than pitching. I didn't want to just pitch. I felt
mm-hmm.
that I was a good player because I had played in Federation. You know, I went to Cooperstown, lost chances to go play in the Little League World Series and the whole nine. Like, I really, really, really played. You know, my father started me, but once I got it, I got it. I became a basketball player because I liked Magic Johnson. That was my man.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I started getting a little bit tall and realizing that I could play a little bit, I said, you know what, let me see what I could do with it. But that wasn't where my confidence was. It was in baseball. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I really played. And if you don't give your kids a chance to do something else other than, you know, if you're breathing them, feeding them basketball, eat, sleep basketball, and shoving something down their throat, they're not going to get a chance to know anything else. Listen, I played in a band in high school also. I played 5 instruments. I was an honor student. Like, you understand what I'm saying? Like, in other words, I had, and you know this, but I'm just hypothetically speaking for the people listening,
mm-hmm.
that if you don't have an interest in something else, you know what I'm saying, and somebody pushing you to do something else, you're going to be in trouble. Even down to my, the best coach I ever had was the Claremont Center, Mike Harris. He knew I was a good player,
mm-hmm.
but he always knew I was smart. So he, you know, pushed me to go to school where it would go for my smarts, because I didn't get highly recruited coming out of high school, even though with the press I got, I should have gotten, and I was very disappointed. I ended up going to Utica College in Syracuse. So I was up there in Syracuse with Billy Owens, Conrad McRae, Red Autry, Stevie
mm-hmm.
Thompson. I was up there with them, and I'm watching these guys ball. And then I'm like, okay, so I'm going to go play over here in my school, which is a Division III school, is a subsidiary of Syracuse University, all right? I went there. The coach asked me to play because I didn't go there for that. I went there on my smarts.
Uh-huh.
And my mind is thinking was, I'm going to go here and I'm going to transfer somewhere where I can play. You understand? So
mm-hmm.
it ended up being that I played, I got hurt, and I had a fight with a guy on the team, and I got discouraged and I didn't play. Probably the best move I could have made. But at the same time, my father wasn't overbearing telling me, you better play there to correlate what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't tell me, yo, you got to play there. He didn't say, you know, he told me, yo, do what you think is best for you. Make your best decision. I'm not going to tell you to go over here and do this or do this. Do what you need to do. And Lonzo Ball is not, to me, he hasn't been given the opportunity to do. We don't know what he thinks because, like I said, he don't talk. So we don't
mm-hmm.
know what he really feels. We don't know what LaMelo feels or what LiAngelo feels. All we know is they're following the big baller brand.
How y'all feel about that?
Everything that you just said completely eliminated any respect that I had for LaVar Ball. And it's funny you say that because I was actually saying to somebody else, if you are depending on your children to become wealthy, to take care of you, I think you are a disgusting parent, period, in the discussion. That makes no sense to me. It's one thing if you have kids and, you just want a tall kid, that's fine. If you're talking about having them tall so they can become athletes, that to me is a bit disturbing because that's slavery. That's what they did in slavery.
So that makes me ask you a question. Did you know you were going to be 6'11", 7 feet? Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. But there's a difference in terms of what you just said, given what LaVar Ball said, that he did this purposely picking out so he can have athletes. See, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's different if you turn out a certain way. That's one thing. It's another thing when I'm intentionally going to pick somebody so I can have me a bunch of athletes. It's one of those things that sounds good. I think that is ridiculous. And we're seeing that play out. Because as somebody once said,
absolutely,
and I don't have kids, but I heard somebody say, and I know, Will, you've got kids, Kyle, I don't know, but I've heard this said, and Michael Wilbon said this. He said, as a parent, it utterly disgusts me the target that the father is painting on Lonzo Ball's back. And I had to really think about that.
Lonzo Ball needs to step up. If you got real game, show me. Show me the money. I almost want to curse. Show me the money. Don't talk about it. Be about it.
See,
because I'm going to tell you like this. Go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
And that's the problem, what you just said. Don't talk about it. He doesn't talk. It's the father.
But he ain't been about it neither. We don't know. I think he had one field goal attempt, 0 points, something like that the other day.
Mm-hmm.
Listen here, bro. That means you don't got no confidence in your shot. So that means that whoever you got helping you and working with you on your shot, they're not really helping you. Because then the game before that I saw Lonzo Ball shoot three after three and miss them all.
See,
I've seen him miss alley-oops here. I've seen him miss it all.
And that goes back to what I said again when we talk about the pressure that kid is under. I remind everybody, Jason Kidd was the same way. Jason Kidd couldn't shoot a lick for several years in the NBA. All right? And by the time Jason Kidd was finished, he was on the all-time three-pointer list. The point that I'm making is that took time to develop. This kid, Alonzo, is 19 years old. And people from his teammates to his coaches to the media to the other members of the NBA are trying to kill this kid. And I stress the word kid. 19.
He's a young man.
He's technically a kid.
He's a kid.
They are trying
to
kill him because of what the grown man is actually saying, being his father. That is despicable. And everybody is saying
that. He's dictating too much.
Huh?
He's dictating too much of what his son, LaVar, is dictating too much of what his son should do.
Exactly. And now everybody, all of his sons have to cash the check that LaVar's mouth is writing. And I think personally that is despicable. And they might be able to do it if they had time to develop, which they can't do because they don't have normal circumstances.
Yeah, so I mean, you talk
that
about
that brings me back. No, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, you talked about Jay Kidd in his rookie season. I mean, granted, you know, he was one of the top picks of the NBA in 1994 by the Mavericks. And obviously, you know, he didn't have to do it under the microscope that, you know,
exactly,
Lonzo's under. But, I mean,
you look at
Jay Kidd's numbers from his rookie year. He started in 79 games. He averaged 11.7 points, 7.7 assists, 5.4 rebounds. He shot 38% from the field, 27% behind the three-point line, and he was nearly a 70% free throw shooter. Lonzo Ball, 8.6 points, 7.1 assists, 6.8 rebounds. He's shooting just 32% from the field and just 24% from three-point land, and even worse, he's shooting just 47% from the free throw line. You talked about him.
Exactly.
Yeah, from the free throw line.
You know what I'm saying? And you talk about, you talked about him being, you know, wary about taking shots. The Lakers' last game, which they did win on the road on Saturday against the Hornets, he only took 5 shots. He scored 5 points, had 9 rebounds, and 5 assists.
Again, it looks like a confidence issue to me. Again,
right.
I'm going to say this, because when you're playing within, let me just say this. When you're playing with dudes that are real, real nice, if you're nice, you're going to hold your own, and you're going to do what is expected of you. All right? And that's the bottom line. Like, for me, it's a confidence issue. If you don't feel confident enough to do those things, or confident enough to be in a way where, you know, you're contributing as everybody's going along, you know, you like, in other words, let me say this. You know how you watch teams play and they get on the roll, you know, and this person has the ball, they're scoring, that person has the ball, they're scoring, you know, everybody's sharing the ball. Then when it comes down to you, you break the monotony of what's going on. And I've seen him do it time and time again this year. That's why they tennis 15. You know, to me, I would bring him along a lot. I wouldn't have threw him into the fire. I wouldn't have done that because I don't think he's – it looks like between the confidence, it looks like he's really not ready for it. I mean, I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't see it. The night in and night out, you're going against the top point guards at the toughest position right now. I think there's a combination of confidence and maybe he needs to sit and watch a little bit. You know, because when Magic was throwing out those barbs about how good he is, he could be as good as me, he can't hold Magic draws for Magic first game. Sorry.
Yeah.
And I watched them all. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I watched them all. Magic was just trying to give him some confidence and hype him up. That's all
I don't
that's
know if that's confidence. That's pressure to me.
You telling me,
Magic Johnson telling you, I expect to see your jersey hanging up next to mine. That, I mean, I'm all for confidence. And I go back against what I said, because I don't necessarily disagree with you. Because it is a confidence
right.
issue. But it's the dude, I put it this way. You take somebody like Lonzo, 19, has talent, but needs to develop. He's not a finished product. You're right. He leaves a lot of work. It wouldn't kill him to have sat. But you threw him in there. Magic got pressure on you. You in L.A. market. It's the Lakers. It's Showtime. We telling you, your jersey going to be next to Magic's. You know, but your father, remember, you got holes in your game. And it's not that
yes.
you just can't play. Nobody comes into the NBA on day one. That dude, the only person I have ever seen complete, at least from what I've heard, that come into the league as a complete player is Kareem. I've never seen anybody else do
okay.
that.
Okay, that's a fact. That's a fact, and I wasn't here to witness this. But, Mike, let me throw this at you. Take Lonzo and his game the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
Bring Lonzo to our lot where we play. Do you think Lonzo would have dominated where we played?
Absolutely not.
Because Lonzo would have got the hell beat out of him, one. Because we didn't do shit. And you know that. Two, in order to get yours, and get yours to victory, you have the fear and strength. And I'm not just talking about bring it from Fulton down to the block. And I can name you 10 guys his height. That would have gave him the business.
Exactly.
Consistently. All right? So, you know, and looking at it in hindsight, it brings you back to who was these kids playing against. Now, Lonzo has some success in the NCAA because of the way it's set up.
Mm-hmm.
You're not always going to play against, you know, top-tier teams every night in, night out. You're not always going to do that. You're going
right.
to play against some lower-level teams and some mid-level D1s. You'll have a chance to develop and get yours against guys that are less of talent. But had Lonzo went to a Duke, a Kentucky, or North Carolina, he wouldn't have been able to hide his game, bro. Bros. What y'all think
yeah.
about that?
Nah, I mean, listen, I mean, you're right, you know, and just to piggyback off what you said earlier, you know, you talked about, you know, him being compared to Magic and even J. Kidd. I mean, honestly, number one, he doesn't have the confidence of Magic Johnson or Jason Kidd, because you look at it, Magic Johnson had a ton of confidence because you're talking about you come into a situation if you're Magic and you take over as the point guard when Kareem is there. And I mean, anybody from the younger generation, if you were born, you know, 1990 up until now, you really don't realize how important that Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was to the game of basketball for what he did, because Art, hands down, one of the most dominant players ever. And for Magic to come in as a rookie and, like, be like, you know, this is our team. It's not just Kareem's team. It's our team. And live up to it. That meant a lot. And Magic backed it up. And it was the same thing
he
with
did.
Jason Kidd because, yeah, and I mean, it was the same thing with Jason Kidd, not comparing Jamal Mashburn or Jim Jackson to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, but they were, like, the young guys on that team.
You got
a
point.
They were already, you know, established on there. Lonzo doesn't have that.
But you
want to
know what happened
then,
with them?
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, not to cut you off, Will. A well-known singer broke that team up. They had the 3Js.
Yep.
You do know about that, right?
Yeah. Yep. I do.
I'm not gonna mention no names. I'm gonna let it rock.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's
yeah.
what happened. That was the dynamic between Jason Kidd, Jamal Mashburn, and Jimmy Jackson.
And then
Jackson,
you know
they was nice.
Yeah. And you looked at J Kidd from day one. You looked at Magic from day one. They had that confidence. And I mean, you know, Magic. You know, he grew up playing ball. You know, out in Michigan. And then you look at J Kidd. J. Kidd grew up playing in the Bay Area in Oakland, and in Oakland, you know, you had to be
against
tough. You going
ballers.
Up against right, and you going up against guys
like
Gary
New York
Payton,
City,
I mean,
like New York City
right.
type ballers. Like he wasn't the best where he was at, but he might have been good in the NBA. But every time he came home, somebody was giving that ass the business. Believe it,
right?
You know, so
right.
you think I'm gonna use Rafer Austin. Rafer Austin, probably one of the greatest Rucker players I've ever seen in my life. He was doing whatever he was doing in the league. But when he came back to 55th, he was doing what he had to do. But believe me, they was giving him the business. Believe it when I tell you. You know what I'm saying? I can name so many dudes, you know what I'm saying, that was pro that I seen play and or play against pro-am or whatever. And they was doing what they was doing in the league. But when they came back home, they wasn't, even though they had the money, they had this and that, they wasn't the top dog. Fact. That's
so,
right.
Now I was just going to say, in 5 years, where do you guys see Lonzo Ball?
That all, I honestly think that really all depends on how he handles his father. Because
I'm
what ends up, I personally, from watching Lonzo play, I see a 19-year-old kid that has flashes of greatness, because he does have the vision, but he has to work on his game. No, very few people come into the NBA a finished product. You need time to be allowed to develop. He's not going to have that time because, like I said, I've told this story to you, Will, and I'll just tell it to Cal briefly.
Mm-hmm.
People like LaVar Ball, like I said, forget what he does to your opponent. It's what he does to your team. We had a situation to where we had a kid that was just like LaVar, same situation. The kid, we had a power forward on our team, nice kid, didn't bother anybody, you know, could play. But his father, you know, who I also like, but, you know, a lot of people didn't like him. And his father is always talking. So we got a championship game the night before. Our point guard and our power forward get into a fight. The point guard prefaced the fight by saying, "I can't stand your effing father." Needless to say, we lost the title. We didn't win the game. And I say that to say you can see that slowly starting to happen with LaVar. And it actually happened a lot earlier than I thought it would.
Yeah,
because now,
you're
again,
right about
you've
that.
Criticized the coach. You've now criticized, again, from what I'm told, Julius Randle was like his man on the team, always came to his back. You've now destroyed that because you talked about him saying he didn't do his job in the fourth quarter. What's next? You're going to say something about Magic? You are not going to get the time to develop because, again, quite frankly, point guards in this league now, especially now, are a dime a dozen. Lonzo, I can get somebody else to do what you do without all the drama and the baggage and the headaches. he's not going to have the opportunity to be afforded to develop. And I don't know if you can get if he will or can get his father out of his life in time and salvage his career. I'll throw that out there to y'all.
I'm gonna say preparation. I'm gonna go back to that because if you're not taking your 500 shots a day, you know, with your hitch jump shot or whatever you got, you're not you know doing what you got to do to work on your game. You know, it's gonna be an issue. I'm gonna use Kyrie Irving as an example. I've known Kyrie Irving's father for a very long time. Kyrie Irving used to come, you know, in the Claremont. You know, we were having, like, these crazy big games with all these big-time players from all over the place. And, you know, before the games, Kyrie would come and shoot. Mm-hmm. And so I would always tell him, get off the court, one. I would always mess with him, get off the court or shoot in closer. And he would stay at that three-point line. And guess what? I was wrong. You know what I'm saying? He's good from deep. He developed that shot. Worked on his game, played 8 games at Duke, and became a top pick in the draft. Confidence didn't stop him, even though we didn't know much about him as a player when he came out. We wasn't sure about him. His confidence proved us wrong. And I'm using him as a direct example right now. His confidence in his game and him knowing what he could do proved me 100% wrong. I didn't know which way he would go. You know, I had watched him, and I didn't know what to think because I didn't get to watch him in other venues before, you know, he got to Duke. You know, I had only heard about him and, you know, seen what I saw. But, you know, they're basically from around the neighborhood and from different projects than what I grew up in. But we all knew each other. And I can remember, you know, Kyrie as a kid, 10, 11 years old, you know, coming into Claremont and shooting around. And I would always tell him, yo, shoot over there. And he proved me wrong about he shot where he shouldn't have shot, and that shot won him a championship. And all that comes with confidence and knowing what you can do with your game no matter what anybody tells you. You know, I, as a player, I played all over the country for a college scholarship. I couldn't name – the only guy I could name right now that I know I played against back then was Darius Miles. All right?
Okay.
Was that definitely Darius Miles. He was that guy. You know, and I remember, you know, playing out in St. Louis doing certain things and, you know, we played against a couple of guys out there. But, you know, a lot of the guys that I played against were very good players, but they didn't have a faith. I was out there just balling against whoever. I didn't care. So that meant my confidence was at an all-time high. And whatever I was doing was at an all-time high no matter where I went or who I played against. And I had the New York stripe against me. That stripe you get on your back from where you come from, yo, it never goes away, no matter where you go, even when you get older and you move away, which is my case now. I still got that stripe on my back, but as a ball player, it's even deeper. You understand what I'm saying? But for Lonzo, this stripe, I can't even compare to what he's going through right now, what he got going. There's no comparison. But the pressure I felt, as far as the pressure, was still kind of sort of the same. And I say this to say this. You know, he's got to overcome that pressure of his father and whatever it is. Otherwise, he's not going to make it in the league. And it starts with him, you know, like Mike said, you know, putting the father in perspective and getting it together. That's my opinion.
If I can, Will, before you jump in, just to respond to that real quick. Because you keep saying the preparation. You can prepare 100 million times. If you are unfocused or a.k.a. distracted, And I'll use, in my opinion, maybe the greatest, you know, well, I'll just say the greatest small forward ever. I'll say LeBron. Do we remember that infamous game, his last game with the Cleveland Cavaliers the first time around and that whole incident?
Yeah.
Okay, the story goes as what I said, and I won't mention any names, but we'll just say he was told what was going on 5 minutes before the game.
Yeah,
that's a major distraction. I think we would all agree LeBron is going to be prepared to do what he got to do. This is the greatest ball player on the planet at the time.
Right.
When you are distracted, all that preparation goes out the window. If you cannot stay mentally focused, and again, everybody has a threshold, what is it that gets under your skin to make you lose your concentration? And in this case, it's as follows. So I agree, he's got to prepare. He's got to be better. But he can shoot all the jump shots he wants. If his father is still a pain in his behind and causing all that, it won't matter.
Now, I'll say this because I'm gonna say a few things. Number one, I think that Lonzo Ball is out of basketball, not just the NBA, but basketball completely within 5 years. Because I'm going to throw out some names. Floyd Mayweather, Shane Mosley, Michael Jackson. One thing that they all had in common, they were brought into their respective fields by their fathers. Shane Mosley was trained by his father. Floyd Mayweather was trained by his father, who was a professional boxer. Michael Jackson, of course, you know, Joe Jackson was really, you know, controlling things behind the scenes for the Jackson 5. At some point, all of these guys said, you know what, I got to get away from you. Shane Mosley, as a world champion, fired his father, who was a trainer. You know, Floyd Mayweather, you know, dumped his father, and his father even took it as far to be in the corner of Oscar De La Hoya when he fought Floyd Mayweather Jr., and Mayweather still beat him. Mind you, his father was working for the other guy.
Fact.
And, you know, Michael Jackson, him and his brothers, you know, they dumped Joe Jackson in the early 80s, late 70s, early 80s. And, I mean, Mike was already a star. But then Michael Jackson's career took off because, you know, he was the guy. My point being, at some point, if you're Lonzo, you got to say, you just got to say, you know, I'm done. And I mean, even if it's to the point that, you know what, I'm not with the Big Baller brand. I signed with Nike. I signed with Adidas. You know what? I'm just my own guy. I distance myself from that. I mean, just for your survival, because we're about a quarter of the way through the NBA season right now. And, you know, you could see that the pressure is getting to him. And it's not going to get any better.
I agree.
You were the second overall pick of the draft. You know, you're coming to the Los Angeles Lakers, who only the Boston Celtics have won more championships than the Lakers in the NBA. No team has more NBA Finals appearances than the Lakers. And, I mean, every day that you go to work and you step on that court at Staples Center, you look up, you see the championship banners, you see the jerseys, Gail Goodrich, James Worthy, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Magic Johnson, you know, Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe Bryant, Wilt Chamberlain, Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, George Mikan. Okay, that's what you're up against. Then, you know, the L.A. media, the Laker fans in L.A., then on top of that, you know, your father, and then you saw what happened the other night when the Lakers played the Sixers in Philly. Every time that Lonzo Ball touched the ball, that the Philly fans booed. And, I mean, he did absolutely nothing.
That's true.
This is all because of the father. So, I mean,
exactly.
Honestly, you know, it's one of those things, pressure bust pipes. But, honestly, I think at some point it gets to him. And I say within 5 years, he's out of basketball completely.
I don't.
You know, we'll see. Well, you know, for me, that's a we'll see situation. You know, I hope it doesn't happen. I hope he overcomes that. But, you know, to me, you know, you got to be able to put both into perspective, you know, and kind of come to a mutual understanding with yourself, you know. And, you know, the pressure's never going to leave, even if he leaves his father and doesn't, you know, deal with that situation. It's never going to leave. And what's done is already imprinted. It's in stone what's been done already. So these guys are never going to stop coming after you. It's never going to change. You know what I'm saying? Whether you leave your father or not, you still got to come out there and perform and do what you got to do.
Absolutely.
You know, so that brings me back to the confidence level. Because a situation, like you said, you know, the mental thing can definitely affect your physical game. And, you know, if it doesn't work out, see Nick Anderson, you will find yourself out of the league. You know, that's a perfect example. You know, Nick Anderson was a beast. I watched him. You know what I'm saying? When he played at Illinois, they had a crew. That was one of my favorite teams.
Kendall Gill.
We could name them all. Marcus Liberty. You know what I'm saying? We could name them all. But the bottom line is Nick Anderson came into the league. He was a good player. You know, he was drafted. You know, one of the first picks with the Orlando Magic. You know, he was the inaugural guy. And, you know, he pretty much introduced Shaq and Penny and all those other guys into what they were doing. And, you know, when he missed those free throws, that was it.
Never recovered.
He was never the same. He might have played two more years after that, and he was gone. And, you know, it was sad to me because, you know, I don't think a missed free throw should make your career, but he got to the point where he didn't want to take the free throws.
Yep.
You know, he didn't want to shoot the free throws, whether, you know, and it was always, you know, something that was just, you know, messing with his mind. So some guys can't overcome, you know, the mental aspect of, you know, what happens, you know, during the course of a game. I've learned, you know, from even when I was young, to separate whatever I was doing from whoever was watching, whether it was my parents or my peers or whoever, I separated whatever. And I dealt with whatever consequence I had after. I was always a clutch player, though, personally. I won a lot of games, you know what I'm saying, when it counted. You know, and just in general, like on a higher level than the street level, I won a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I never took, and I lost the big one also because I still made the shot, but it wasn't the shot I was supposed to take. So, you know, when you take that responsibility, you have your wins and losses, but I still went after that. It didn't stop my confidence from wanting to be the person to take that last shot. You know, it never, my confidence never waned. So, you know, to me, it is mental. Basketball is about 85% mental.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and if you can't, you know, dissect it and break it down and put it in perspective, you know, you're going to be lost. You know, that's just my opinion about it. You know, I hope the brother gets it together.
You know, yeah.
And what I'm going to do is I need to definitely check out some things and get to some other stuff today. And, you know, I want to tell y'all both that I appreciate, you know, having the platform to talk about this with y'all, you know, and to hear the statistical analysis, you know, well, you've been great with it. You know, Mike, you know, he's my brother forever. You know what
Amen.
I'm saying? You know
I
how we rock
you.
Out, you know what I'm saying? You know how we rock out, you know what I'm saying? And, you know, it's just been a pleasure. But, you know, there's no way we can talk about this any more than we have.
Yeah, right.
You know, and I wish Lonzo could hear what we had to say. My opinion.
Well, I mean, you know, just to harp like very quickly because we got 3 minutes left, is that you know, you talked about the mentality of the free throws, and I mean, it's something that I guess, you know, Lonzo could take a, you know, page out of the Kawhi Leonard book, because I mean, you go back to 2013, you know, Kawhi missed those, you know, those free throws that would have wrapped up, you know, the NBA championship for the Spurs, and then the dude turned back the next year, and you know, was Finals MVP. In that series, you know, for San Antonio, it's the mental aspect, and you know, just under 3 minutes left, you know, I'm going to give each of you guys the opportunity. If you guys want to give a shout out to anybody, you know, Cal, I know you're doing some things in sports media, and if you want to, you know, give those a quick plug, please, by all means, you know, the platform is yours.
Well, you know, I want to shout out Citywide Sports and New York Underground Radio, the group. You know, those are two platforms. They've given me a chance to speak and, you know, to be heard in a way where I probably wouldn't, you know, be heard. You know, I've been doing, you know, radio for probably about 28 years off and on. And, you know, I'm thankful that, you know, one of my gifts is to be able to talk too much. You know, and at the end of the day, I hope I didn't talk too much here today, but I hope that, you know, I was informative enough to, you know, to let people understand what it is. And I want to shout you out, Will. You know what I'm saying? I appreciate you having me on the show. You know what I'm saying? This is 300 pounds of pure pressure today. This is 300 pounds of pure pressure. All right? You know what I'm saying? I want to thank y'all very much. Of course, my brother Mike, I want to thank you for putting up with me for these last few minutes. And I thank y'all much for, you know, for the opportunity.
All day.
Trust me, man. Trust me. All the appreciation's on this side, man. You know, Brother Mike, with 90 seconds left, anything you want to say to anybody out there, man?
Oh, no doubt. Fellas, it was a pleasure. Always love talking to y'all. I can talk sports with y'all all day. I love talking about sports life and intelligent, beautiful people like yourselves. Known y'all for a very long time. It's an honor to talk to y'all. And again, same thing. I hope I didn't talk too much because I know I should probably do this for a living because I can talk all day about this. If I had to give a big shout out, 300 pounds of sports knowledge, New York Radio Underground, Citywide Sports, and also I would say check out Weight Loss Coffee, Dollar Coffee Club, /ANSLEY. Get you some Weight Loss Coffee for $1.
All right, there you have it. You know, I want to thank Cal, and I want to thank Mike, you know, for coming on tonight. I'll be back on here this Sunday night at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, recapping the day's action from week number 15 in the NFL season. And as always, much love to 150 pounds of sports knowledge. She knows who she is, and without her, none of this good stuff that you're hearing is possible. And as always, much love to my wonderful daughter, Penelope. And like I always say, it's a pleasure to see you grow and grow on a daily basis, as I know that you're going to do some great things in this wonderful world of ours. You can catch me on Twitter at 300 Pounds of Sports. And like I always say, if you follow me, it's my pleasure to follow you right back. And check out the sports discussion group at the Sports Depot 365 on 300 Pounds on Facebook. And with that said, I'm William Martin signing off. And have yourselves a good night.